We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. Sit back, relax. If you're driving out and about, pay attention to the road. Keep your hands firmly on the steering wheel. Don't touch that dial, if you have a dial even. We have a terrific show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be talking to Rabbi Asher Federman, who is the Chabad representative to the U.S. Virgin Islands, which, as you can probably imagine, has not doing so great physically, but doing pretty good spiritually. Rabbi Federman and his family actually relocated to Detroit and have leading the operation down there in the recovery of the U.S. Virgin Islands. We have a wonderful assortment of Jewish music of all genres sprinkled out throughout the show. The portion of the week is the portion of Vayetze, which can be found in Genesis 28. We're talking about the adventures of the patriarch Jacob. We've got a really poignant story. This is like an amazing story. This is like one of those divine providence stories. At the end, stay all the way to the end if you want to hear this one. And even if you don't want to stay all the way to the end, before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The IDF deployed an Iron Dome anti-missile battery to Tel Aviv once it was discovered that one of the people killed in the tunnel collapse 2 weeks ago was a senior Hamas leader. Israel refuses to allow Hamas to recover the 8 bodies from the tunnel until the bodies of 4 IDF soldiers killed in 2014 are returned. The massive 7.3 earthquake that hit Iraq and Iran this week was felt in Tel Aviv, more than 600 miles from the epicenter. Residents across central Israel say the tremor rattled homes, though no injuries were reported. Recording stations in Haifa and Be'er Sheva measured the quake at 4.5 on the Richter scale in Israel. That's still pretty heavy duty, 4.5. And as of note, both Iraq and Iran have refused help from the Israelis in the earthquake relief. Israeli athletes wore Israeli flags on their uniforms at the World Openweight Judo Contest held in Morocco. Last week, Israelis were prohibited from wearing the flag at the World Judo Competition in the United Arab Emirates. No Israelis won medals in Morocco. They did really good last week in Abu Dhabi. 35,000 Jews spent last Shabbat at the Cave of the Patriarchs in Hebron. Jews visit Hebron for the portion of Chai Asorah, last week's Parsha, in which Abraham bought Hebron for a burial plot. This is the largest crowd to visit Hebron on that Shabbat. Aliyah, immigration to Israel's up in the first 3 quarters of 2017. Leading the way is Russia and the Ukraine. The number of Jews moving to Israel from Turkey doubled this year over last year. U.S. emigration to Israel is down more than a third. And finally, according to the FBI, the number of anti-Semitic hate crimes in the U.S. rose slightly in 2016 compared to 2015. There were 684 anti-Semitic hate crimes last year, a 3% rise from 664 in 2015. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Okay, Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, we have a song for you. This is Chaim Green. The song is Ad Mosai.
Ich schreie bei dir. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Fidman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on the line Asher Federman, who is the Chabad Shliach, the head rabbi of the U.S. Virgin Islands. And we're going to talk to him about pre, post, and future, I guess, what's going on with the Virgin Islands in lieu of the recent hurricane. How are you, Asher?
I am doing well here in civilization in Michigan, visiting my family.
We're actually going to talk about that later on. Okay, so how long has it been since the hurricane?
September 6th. So it's been 9 weeks.
9 weeks, okay. So describe the atmosphere. Thank God, in Michigan, there has been one hurricane. It was in 1996. It hit Lake Michigan in the center of the lake, and as soon as nightfall hit, it died because the water got too cold. So we don't know from hurricanes. So tell us, what is it like? Like the word comes in, the Virgin Island Hurricane Center says, you guys got big problems coming at you. What was going on? How do people prepare? And what did you, as like the rabbi, like the pastoral influence on the entire island, what are you doing?
Well, different than Michigan, living in the Caribbean, storm warnings, storm watches, and hurricane conditions is something that everybody's looking out during this time of season for. We've lived there for 13 years, and we've had a couple of close trackings, but nothing like this. I mean, a week before this was approaching us, and this looked very serious. The closer it came, the more strength and power the storm was packing. And people took this very seriously. The first thing you do is, you know, you run to Home Depot, make sure to board up any windows, any openings in the house, secure all of your possessions, put everything away. And that is what we were occupied with for, you know, a couple of days before the storm. As a rabbi, as a communal leader, we reached out to members of the community, elderly members of the community who needed assistance to be able to board up their places and secure their houses and possessions. And that's what we were occupied with for a couple of days before the storm.
Okay, let me ask you, you have a synagogue?
We do.
Okay, so how far away from the beach is your synagogue? And how much of a threat, if you have like a real like wave of water coming through, synagogue be in harm's way?
The entire island is 9 miles by 3 miles.
Uh-huh.
So you're looking at a rock in the middle of the ocean, very small. Everywhere is in harm's way. We're a stone's throw away from the water, from our house, from our synagogue. You're also able to see the water both sides. And every area of the island is of great concern, especially with such a strong storm.
Okay, understood. So now as the what are people thinking now? This is something that's really coming. People usually turn to like rabbis and other clergy when they're suddenly faced with like their own mortality and, oh no, I'm not going to say it. But so you're trying to run around and take care of practical matters as far as like getting things secured and boarded up, making sure people are safe. What about people's psyches and their spiritual sense of well-being, Rabbi Federman?
Well, like you say, the primary concern before such an event is to make sure that everybody is safe and everybody is out of harm's way, and to encourage everybody, to strengthen everybody, to keep up their faith that everything will be okay. But a lot of that, the spiritual, emotional, you know, and psychological encouragement of a clergy was a lot more necessary after the storm, especially given the devastation that this storm caused, unprecedented devastation on our island.
Okay, we'll talk about it in sequence. Okay, so now the storm approaches, the storm's hitting, people have to go into shelter. Where did you and your family take shelter?
Came to late Tuesday night, you know, after we kicked back for the first time in a couple of days, everything was secure. And the roof of the home that we live in came off in 1995 during Hurricane Marilyn. And we saw this was a superstorm, essentially a Category 6, a Category 7. In the middle of the night, we called a doctor friend of ours, member of our community, and we asked, we thought the Paragon Medical Building behind the hospital is a fairly new structure, built like a bunker. And as curfew was beginning 6 o'clock the next morning before the storm, we all packed out with our family, another couple that was with us as well. And we hunkered down during the storm in the medical building, the waiting room of St. Thomas Radiology was the master suite for the Fetterman family during the storm.
Uh-huh. And how many people were hunkered down in the bunker?
There were about 30 of us, my family, and then a number of other doctors came with their families, a couple of nurses, and a couple of friends.
Okay. Did this building have, like, windows? Could you see what was going on outside?
Yes. This building is a newer building, and there's, in the front of the building, there are two hurricane-proof glass windows. And we were able to see the storm as it was approaching. And, you know, when things began to get really serious and we saw the extent of it, you know, you hear of these types of natural disasters. You hear of the devastation that this type of storm and hurricanes wreck, you know, in the past and everywhere. But actually experiencing it is something that is a whole new level. I mean, seeing power poles snapping, trees being uprooted, debris flying everywhere, you know, the torrential downpours of the rain, you know, flying horizontally a couple hundred miles an hour, it's indescribable. And, you know, at that point, when we realized the extent of the storm and tracking that the eye of the storm, this is before we lost power, before we, you know, we weren't able to continue monitoring it, that the eye of the storm was essentially directly over St. Thomas. We pulled our children to the back offices. We didn't want them also to hear the trauma of the winds and the powerful howling of the storm. And one, I would say, of the most meaningful, emotional, and powerful conversations that we had with our family was, you know, we sat them down and we had to prep them. You know, guys, it's possible when you come home, our house won't look the way it did before, you know, and toys, games, material possessions are all replaceable. The main thing is that we're here together. We're healthy. We love each other, our family, our community. And that was something that was a conversation, a real life conversation that we never expected to have with our family and our children. But, you know, it was very cute. One of our children after this conversation, a couple of them were in tears and were thinking about their toys and their games and their books that they have and their beds. And one of the children says, "Ta, how could we be so worried? We have a mezuzah on our door. The mezuzah is going to be, it serves as a protection. Our home serves as a place where so many people from all over the world, visitors, locals, come to spend Shabbos in our home. We pray in our home. For sure there's divine protection. Everything will be fine." And, you know, that kind of soothed the other children and gave a sense of optimism and hope that our home will weather the hurricane, hopefully.
At any time, let me just say, if you're just tuning in, our guest today is Asher Federman, who is the Chabad rabbi of the U.S. Virgin Islands, and we're talking about the aftermath of the recent hurricane. At any time during this whole time, first of all, how long were you in this holdup? At any time, did you feel that you personally were in danger?
No, there were a couple of unsettling moments. The power of the storm shook the building. There was the front area of the building. The roofing came off. But we felt pretty secure in that building. That's why we chose that place, you know, as a safety and a precaution for our children and our family. But we were dead scared. We were worried as anything about the members of our community and what was going on in the rest of the island.
A true leader. Okay, so how long were you in? How long did the hurricane last? How long were you in that building?
The actual eye of the storm was packing, the powerful packing of the storm, dangerous packing of the storm, was for about 4 or 5 hours. The tailwinds, the winds before, were also extremely powerful. They started about 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday morning. And we didn't go out for the first time until the next day, until Thursday. And as I mentioned, we were directly across from the hospital. And the hospital was battered and destroyed during the storm. The first thing we saw when we came out with our children to get some fresh air was there were U.S. military helicopters that were airlifting all of the patients in the hospital, clearing out the emergency room, and other agencies that were there to stabilize and to clear out various areas of the hospital that were devastated.
Mm-hmm. So what percentage of the structures on the island of the U.S. Virgin Island were destroyed by the hurricane?
I would say 80% of
the
structures, not destroyed, 80% of them were damaged. Completely destroyed, probably 30%.
That's still quite formidable.
Yes.
How long did it take for power to get back to the island? Is it back yet? Or is it like Puerto Rico where they're still like in pieces, not happening, yes, happening, it'll take months?
No. I mean, it's going to take months. There's still no power on the island. I just came back from the island late Thursday night. We were there for a very large clothing distribution. We distributed 10,000 pieces of brand new clothing to our island community. And first of all, I was shocked by the amount of people that turned out to take clothing and to hear the comments and the appreciation and the stories of our island brothers and sisters who are suffering in terrible pain. There were more than 1,000 people that came to take clothing. It was heart-wrenching. I think that because of Hurricane Maria, which followed 10 days later and hit Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands was kind of forgotten. The devastation in the Virgin Islands is probably worse than Puerto Rico, although there are more people that live in Puerto Rico. So the humanitarian crisis, until it was stabilized, was worse. But the devastation in the Virgin Islands is worse than Puerto Rico. And, you know, I mean, power as it is, the power infrastructure is somewhat compromised on the island. We have blackouts occasionally or more than occasionally. It's not something out of the ordinary. But to go completely without power is something extremely challenging, not just because there's no refrigeration and there's no lights. But keep in mind that in St. Thomas, all of the homes get their water from cisterns. There's no city water. So if you don't have a generator, you don't have power, you don't have a pump, you don't have a toilet, you don't have showers. And that becomes a major, major inconvenience, a major concern, and can even become a humanitarian crisis.
Indeed.
So the first, yeah. So the first thing after the storm, when things began to settle, the first thing that we identified necessary to bring down to members of our community, as well to the community at large, was generators. And we had a student fly down from New York to Puerto Rico, the closest easy accessible island, rent trucks, drive around Home Depots, other areas, and just get as many generators as possible. There are members of our community that were working with private boats to take evacuees, families, pregnant women, the elderly, to evacuate them from St. Thomas to Puerto Rico. And then on the way back, those boats were filled with aid and supplies. And we packed, you know, generators, aid, supplies, whatever we were able to get. And the community at the time in Puerto Rico, this is before Maria. So mm-hmm. they were extremely generous in their help to us here in the Virgin Islands. And then we were fortunate enough as well. There was a certain donor who he contributed 400 plus generators to the island, and we distributed them to, let's say, working together with the Family Resource Center, with other government agencies, we looked out for families with children, people who were ill. You know, insulin, for example, was a tremendous issue because there was no way to keep it cold. And as well as families that invited other families that lost their homes into their house to provide them with generators. And we had the names, we had lists. It was a very grassroots effort. Whatever the information we had from these various agencies, picked up a phone, we just started calling people, you know, Home Depot parking lot or Anna's Retreat basketball court. We're going to be distributing generators. You're on the list. I understand that you have six children. I understand, you know, your mother is suffering from cancer. And we distributed 400 plus generators to people on the island. There were other agencies as well, other organizations that were working too. But until today, I'm receiving texts and phone calls from people. You know, when is the next batch of generators coming in? We still don't have power. It's extremely difficult. And for all your listeners out there, I can say, you know, this is the U.S. Virgin Islands is a U.S. territory. Many of you come there for your vacations, weddings, for, you know, wonderful, memorable family experiences and vacations that you have. There are people that live on St. Thomas. It's our home. It's our community. And the people are really hurting. And whatever you can do to help the community, to help the citizens of the U.S. Virgin Islands, would be a tremendous mitzvah and extremely, extremely necessary and appreciated.
Okay, since we're doing that, our guest is Asher Fetterman, who is the chief rabbi of the U.S. Virgin Islands. You have a website where people can make contributions, Asher?
I do. It's www.jewishvirginislands.com/donate. And if you go to our homepage, jewishvirginislands.com, there's a section over there that deals with the aid that we're providing and the relief that we're providing. And you can click over there. You could find some pictures as well from the beginning of the storm or pre the storm. Our Facebook page, myself and my wife share a Facebook page. It's Federman, F-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, Asher, A-S-H-E-R, and Henya, H-E-N-Y-A, Federman, Asher, Henya. You can see many pictures of our efforts, as well as updates of the goings and the relief efforts and what's going on St. Thomas.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit more personal. You chose to evacuate your family, so I'm assuming that your house was not livable, and therefore you had to, like, the situation was such that it made it much easier for you to get your kids off of the Virgin Islands and to another place?
Our home was damaged, and it's a challenge to live there. It's a challenge to live on St. Thomas anywhere, even if your home wasn't damaged. But my wife, as well, is expecting and due in the next week.
Uh-huh.
So for her to stay in St. Thomas was not possible, as well as our children are a part. Their schooling, their education is online. They're part of a larger network, and they're together with Jewish families, Chabad, Shluchim representatives all over the world who partake in the online school. And it was virtually impossible for them to have any type of education or schooling while being in the Virgin Islands. And thank God we're a large family. So, you know, with the roads being compromised, with the debris and power poles and, and everything that's going on, it was not something that was feasible for our family to remain. And our primary concern was the children's education. So my family they evacuated on a boat to Puerto Rico, and then from Puerto Rico they flew to Milwaukee, where my wife's parents are from, spent a couple of days there, and then came here to Michigan, and for the last couple of months have been living by my brother-in-law, Shmaya, and his wife, Devorah Leah, who have been extremely gracious and supportive and open in helping us, Shmaya and Verle Shmatkin. And my wife as well, studied in Detroit for a number of years as teens. And we have a warm spot for Michigan. So this was a great choice for us to be temporarily until the baby and until things get settled and the conditions are such where it would be okay to bring my family back. One small story. While my children were evacuating with my wife, so at the time it was a couple days after the storm, it was a tremendous amount of chaos. The buzz was that there's someone with an AK-47 that's stopping cars at gunpoint, and there's looting, and you know, which a lot of this turned out not to be the case, but there was a lot of uncertainty and panic on the island.
Sure.
Yeah. And as sending off the family, you know, to the open seas, rough seas, you know, still from the storm, and I'm hugging the children goodbye and saying goodbye to my wife, I turned to my children to kind of gauge them. And I said, guys, should Tati come with you? And one of my children looked at me with eyes that expressed such shock and surprise and said, Ta, no way. How can you leave? Who's going to take care of our community? Who's going to blow the shofar here on Rosh Hashanah? Who's going to dance on Simchas Torah with the joy of the Torah together with our community? You can't leave. It was so heartwarming to hear that. Yeah, I stayed. It was the loneliest yet most profound holiday season that I've ever experienced, being there alone for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom Kippur, for Sukkot, and for Simchas Torah, was definitely an experience, but it was extremely meaningful. And going through these events, and, you know, there's no answer for human suffering. There's no explanation for human suffering. But in Hebrew, the word nisa, the word test, also means the word it also means a banner. And going through these types of tests and these types of challenges in life tend to serve as a banner as well, to raise an individual to begin to see and appreciate the world in a new way, to begin to appreciate what truly matters in life, what remains with us, and what is eternal. And having that experience calls out from within you deeper strengths and reservoirs that you didn't even know that you have.
That's absolutely amazing.
And you know, and we hope to become better people. We hope to become deeper people. We hope to be there on a completely new level for our Virgin Islands community. And you know, and I've been amazed to see the warmth and the welcoming and the selflessness of so many people in the Virgin Islands, giving the little bit that they have towards their neighbors, their families, their friends, under these conditions. And you know, with all of the pain and the devastation and, you know, and the challenges, it's definitely been a real learning experience.
Wow. Usher Fetterman, Chief Rabbi of the Virgin Islands, a Chabad Rabbi there. Our hearts go out to the community of the Virgin Islands, and we hope only to hear good news, and hope you'll keep us apprised. And we want to thank you so much. If you could, please give us the website again for the people who want to contribute to the recovery of the U.S. Virgin Islands, Usher.
JewishVirginIslands.com/donate. And again, on the homepage, there's a section of our relief efforts and an album with pictures as well. You can go to our Facebook page that has been updated throughout the pre the storm, post the storm. Fetterman Asher Henya, FEDERMAN, Fetterman Asher ASHER, Henya HENYA.
Okay. I want to wish you only success, and we should continue to hear good news.
Amen. Thank you very, very much, Rabbi Finman.
And thank you. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finner, you are listening to The Jewish Hour. We're going to really do a paradigm shift over here. That's very traumatic and heart-rendering. And if you can, go to the Jewish Virgin Islands /donate page and help out the effort there. But we've got Hanukkah coming up. I generally don't play Hanukkah standards, but Theodore Bekel, how could you not? This is Hanukkah, O Hanukkah.
Chanukai, Chanukai, Yontef Hashener, a lustiger, a freilicher, nito noch a zeiner,
alle Nacht in Dreidel spielen mir, so die Käse Latkes essen mir. Geschwinder sind Kinder, die Chaneke Lichter davon. Lass mir alle singen, lass mir alle springen und lass mir alle tanzen in Korn. Lass mir alle singen und lass mir alle springen und lass mir alle tanzen in Korn. Chanukka, oh Chanukka, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the hora. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Dreidels to play with, a latkes to eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning low. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Candles are burning low. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Yemei HaChanukah, Chanukat Migdashenu, Vigilu v'Simcha, Memalim et Libenu, Laila v'Yom Svivoneinu Yisov. Suhuganiyot nochal bamlarov ha'iru adliku neirot Chanukah rahabim al hanisim ve'al haniflaot asher cholelu ha'makabim al hanisim ve'al haniflaot asher cholelu ha'makabim. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman, you are listening to the Jewish Hour. I was just talking with my board op, Tony, and we're just talking about the size of the Virgin Islands. 9 by 3 is actually smaller than Southfield. So we're talking a very small area to be suddenly hit with like walls of water. I mean, you know, this is pretty hefty. We, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Jewish Hour, and we have up next something completely different as far as music goes. This is a medley of Persian Jewish wedding songs. Let's listen in.
Thank you.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week, we read in the synagogue the portion of Vayetze. It's in Genesis chapter 28 and following. This portion begins the continuation of last week's portion. Jacob received the blessing of Isaac, that his children and his progeny would be the chosen people, inherit the land of Israel, get the Torah. Esav swore that at his first opportunity, he would kill Jacob. So Jacob, realizing the better part of valor, decided it was best to leave. That's where we pick up the story this week. The portion begins with Jacob on the road. And it actually happened that he passed by Jerusalem a little bit and then realized, this is Jerusalem. This is like, in Judaism, Jerusalem is the center of the universe. All the things that happened in Jerusalem, by the way, if you're interested, this is, I usually recommend things of a topical note, things that are going on in Detroit. I had the opportunity of visiting, there's exposition, a show of Monet down at the DIA. Which my wife is an artist, and she took me down there, and it was pretty way cool the way they have it set up. It's not a whole lot of paintings. It's enough that it kept us busy for well more than an hour. And Detroit owns a Monet, and they took it out of the frame, and you could walk around it and see the whole thing over there. That's pretty cool. In conjunction with this, there is a display of an artist by the name of Church, who went on a Middle East foray back in the 1860s and 70s. He was some rich dude who had a lot of time on his hands. But he painted a picture of Jerusalem from the next mountain over as it appeared in the 1870s. It's a huge painting, I would say 6 feet by 5 feet. And it's just really an intense painting. And if I could, someone would donate to Jewish Ferndale that painting, I would gladly accept it. It is way flipping cool, and it's worth the price of admission. Anyway, so he goes to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, we believe, is where Adam was created, where Adam offered up his first sacrifices, where Noah offered his sacrifices when he came out of the ark, where Abraham bound Isaac for the slaughter, where Jacob had his famous dream, and where the Temple Mount, which is what it's called now, it's called Har Habayis, the place where both temples stood and where the third temple will be built when Mashiach comes, hopefully today. So Jacob said, I can't miss the opportunity of going here. And it says that he went to sleep. He had a dream, famous dream, you know, the dream, you know, the little cat's cradle dream that you play, you turn cat's cradle, you turn the cradle into the ladder, and that's Jacob's ladder, and then you turn that into crow's feet. I remember the game as a kid. My sister was a wizard at it. Jacob had the dream that the angels were going up and down. But there's a thing that says, the land upon which you are sleeping is the land I'm going to give you. What it says in the commentaries, we're talking early commentaries, about 2,000 years ago and before, which means that Moses brought this down the mountain. is that the Almighty folded up the land of Israel under Jacob, and Jacob was actually sleeping on the entire land of Israel. Now, it's very easy to understand. You can say the land that you're sleeping on is right where that spot, and then the whole entire environs. What's his idea of having to fold up the land underneath him to make sure that this was the place? The land of Israel is called the Holy Land. What is it that makes the Holy Land, what makes anything holy, is that it conveys godliness. It is removed from the mundane world, like a Torah scroll, like a prayer book, like a prayer shawl, like phylacteries and tefillin and mezuzah, these things which are dedicated for bringing godliness into the world. And so by this act of folding, you might say, the land of Israel under Jacob, and Jacob acquiring it as the Holy Land. So now the whole entire, the dirt in Israel, it says is holy. And that's what it says, that even the air in the land of Israel is holy. What does that mean for us? We have an Israel within inside of us. Every one of us has this spark, which is our land of Israel. And we have to make sure to dedicate that spark retains its holiness. We got to take a quick commercial break. We're running out of time. Quick. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The easiest, bestest way? Go to rabbifinman.com. That's www.rabbifinman.com. You'll find a way of contacting yours truly. Do it today, and I'll contact you back today. You do it tomorrow, I'm not going to contact you today. It's just not going to happen. You can send me any type of question, comment, criticism, anything that's on your mind. Just even if you felt like venting your spleen, I'm good. I'm a good recipient of spleen vent. That's fine. You'll also find the archived editions of the radio show going back about 2 years, thanks to our people at JCast Network for taking care of that. So I no longer have to. It's one less thing I have to do in the course of my day. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, and classes which convey Judaism in an entertaining and educational way. Hopefully that you will be able to enjoy them and become smarter. You'll also find the donations page. We need your help. Everything we understood, there are great causes. U.S. Virgin Islands, great cause. There's tons of causes. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We're entertaining you. We're educating you. We're bringing you a portal to the world to find out what's going on. We need your help. We're still haven't paid for September. Go to rabbifinman.com. Go to the donations page. Give whatever amount it takes. We're coming up to the end of the year. December's coming up really soon. The IRS wants to know, what did you give? And this is going to be one of those years that you got to give this year, folks, because who knows what's going to be next year with donations. So do it now, and the IRS will thank you. The Almighty will thank you. We thank you. How many thousands of people listening to The Jewish Hour will thank you. That's going to do it. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. Do something meaningful. Make another person smile this week. And we'll see you again back again next year. Thanks. Next week.